Well, today, you know, being as tomorrow is the 4th of July and our day of independence, when we celebrate our nation's independence, I just got to say that I am thankful for our nation's heritage. I don't really consider myself a very patriotic guy, but I do. I am very thankful that we live in a country where we are free to gather to worship, where we can, where we have freedom of speech and assembly, and I'm grateful for some of the godly heritage that we have, and it does concern me, the overall direction that our country seems to be headed, but I'm not really surprised by it, because as I look at the scriptures, I think this, as the way of people go, so goes the way of nations. And we look at the history of Israel, and it followed the same path that we're on now. And the one truth just remains constant throughout, that the people of God are called to be the people of God, no matter what. No matter what, we're called to be the people of God. Our mission doesn't change. What we're supposed to be doing doesn't change. Just the circumstances around us are going to change. Our country was founded on the idea that each person has the God-given right to be free from oppression, to be free from kingdoms, from our fellow man, even free from religion, being tied down to a religion. And God seems to have built that yearning into our DNA. We just don't like being someone's subject. Consider what we saw going on in the Middle East in recent years. In the Middle East, there was what they were calling the Arab Spring, when the people were rising up against dictators, little prodding, little help and encouragement from the outside, but they were just tired of living under tyrants, of being told what they could do and what they couldn't do, and may not have turned out like they had hoped. They traded one tyrant for another, but that's the way of life, and we're going to see that it's no different for us either. Our founding fathers took a big risk when they signed that Declaration of Independence back in 1776. They were telling the King of England, we don't want to be yours anymore. We don't want to be your subject anymore. We want to be a free people. And what they were essentially signing, their own death warrants, because they're telling the king, we're done with you. And you just don't do that to kings and expect it to end well. Well, it did end well for them. A new nation was born out of that. And we love our freedom. We don't want to be enslaved to a king. We don't want to be enslaved to anything else. We love our freedom, and we still do. We love verses like Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. And 1 Peter tells us to live as free men and women. We love that because that's particularly for us as Americans, it strikes a chord in us. Freedom! Woohoo! We love it. But we got to read the rest of these verses. Galatians 5 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And 1 Peter 2 says, live as free men. But it seems that this freedom has a condition to it, doesn't it? Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants or slaves of God. That's rather interesting. Live as slaves of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking with some people, Jewish people, about his relationship with the Father. And he tells them, this is John chapter 8, starting at verse 31. Well, verse 30 says that many had put their faith in him. 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's that word. We love it. The truth will set you free. And they answered, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be free? Does that sound a little odd to any of you from what we know and about the history of the Jewish people? We have never been slaves of anyone. Does that sound right? Egypt? Does that ring a bell? 700 years in Egypt. More recently, they were up in what was Babylon. They were up there, what, 70 years? And they were currently, when they said this, they were currently under the occupation of Rome. Well, they may not have been slaves of Rome. They were certainly not free from Rome. How can you say that we shall be free? To me, this just shows their pride and their unwillingness to admit that they were once enslaved to others. Like they want to block out that part of their history because, well, it's maybe a little embarrassing, living in denial, you know. But Jesus isn't talking about slavery to another human. As we read on in verse 34, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What is this freedom that Jesus is speaking about? He's not talking about freedom of speech. He's not talking about freedom of assembly. He's not talking about the freedom to practice our religion. Jesus is talking about a tyrant that has people in chains all around the world. Jesus is talking about a tyrant that no matter what country you live in, this tyrant is keeping people captive, whether it's a Buddhist country or a Marxist country or a Muslim country, a Hindu or even a democratic republic. People are in chains to this tyrant. And the tyrant is large and in charge, and the tyrant is sin. People everywhere are slaves to sin. Jesus said, everyone who sins, that's you, that's me, that's the person sitting next to you, that's the person sitting behind you, even you in the back row. Everyone, it's your neighbor, your coworker, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And, you know, we're like the people that Jesus was talking to here. We don't like to admit that. That's hard to admit. Yeah. I'm a slave to sin. But I have yet to find one person who, when pressed on the issue, says that they have never sinned. They may deny it, but you keep prodding, they'll say, okay, well, yeah, I guess I've done that. I guess I have sinned. They're a slave to sin. We like to say, we have never been slaves to anyone. We want to appear that we are in charge. We want to appear that we're in control of our lives. We know what's going on. But the fact is, we're slaves. And sin is a cruel taskmaster. Sin is a relentless slave driver. Sin causes us to chase after the unrighteousness that divides us from God. Sin demands that we ignore the calls for holy living. Sin keeps us focused on pleasing ourselves rather than living sold out lives for God. It keeps us going back for more and more and more. And the biggest deception of the tyrant sin is that he whispers to us and says, it's just a little sin. It's not that big a deal. It is a big deal. But the good news is, it is Jesus who frees us from sin. If the Son sets you free, he said, you will be free indeed. You will be free. In Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 17, Paul says, thanks be to God. Let's just say that with me. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You heard the gospel that I preached. You heard the good news of Jesus, and you embraced it. You have been set free from sin. Yes! You have been set free from sin. And then he says, and have become slaves to righteousness. Wait a minute, I thought we were free, and now we're slaves again. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, but just as you used to offer the parts of your body into slavery for impurity and to ever increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. But when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? What did all that sinning do for you? Made you miserable? Yeah. Amen. Those things result in death, Paul says. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you catch that? He said, you have become slaves to righteousness. Slaves to God. We're still slaves. Right? We're still a slave. It's like that old country singer, Bob Dylan. He's saying, you're going to have to serve somebody. Right? It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. We're slaves. Well, let's just get that into our heads. We may think we're free people, but we're slaves. Slaves to sin, slaves to righteousness, to Take your pick. We are still not free to live our lives the way we want. In reality, that kind of living is still being enslaved to sin. It's a selfish lifestyle where you take care of your own needs, you take care of your own wants and wishes, you do what you want to do, you please yourself. That's being a slave to sin and not a slave to God. But thanks be to God that the tyrant of selfishness, that cruel taskmaster, is defeated. In Christ, we have been bought and paid for by the holy and powerful work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The power of sin is gone. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We're still slaves, but now we are slaves to God. The benefits of being a slave to God begin with holiness, as Paul said. Holiness, the life of holiness, is a life of great power. A life of holiness enables us to live, to have the power to live a life that is pleasing to God. We're no longer at war with God, but with the justification that comes by faith, that is the believing that our sins are forgiven in Christ, we can live a God-pleasing life. We have peace with God. The war is over. With holiness comes the power to resist sin and the tempter, Satan. We can resist any temptation that comes our way. Before, when we were slaves to sin, we had to give in to sin. We had to give in to those temptations. Sin was our master. But now we can say no to sin, and we can say yes to righteousness. Yes to holiness. With holiness comes the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. It's the Spirit that opens up the Word of God. It's the Spirit that breathes fresh hope and life into our souls. This is the Spirit that empowers us to minister God's grace in its various forms to a world that is dark and dying. And as Paul said, along with this holiness power, we ultimately have the gift of eternal life. No fear in death, no longer living by faith, but that day when our faith shall be sight. And we shall see Christ as he is in all his splendor and majesty. We shall know him even as we are fully known. My friends, how beautiful it is to be a slave to God. And it sure beats being a slave to sin any old day of the week. Amen. Well, we want to take some time this evening to celebrate communion. Dan, if you could come up. Tonight, as we take communion, we're going to... I want to change the focus a little bit. We usually take communion with the idea of remembering what Christ did for us on the cross. Tonight, as we take communion, I want us to take it with the idea that we have been remembered by God, that it is God who remembers us. I gotta tell you, I confess to you, there are times I can get down. I can get kind of in a funk. And even as a pastor, I forget all that God has done for me. I forget his grace, his mercy. And it's so good to know that God never forgets us. His sustaining grace
carries us when we're in those funk times of our life, those low times, those depressed times. It's God's grace that carries us through. So tonight, as we take the bread, take the cup, let's remember the body that was broken for us. The body that bore our sins. The body that was bruised and beaten for our transgression. And let's remember the cup. As we take the cup, let's remember that it is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all iniquities, from all our sins. Tonight, as we take, I want to ask you to come and take of the elements and partake of it here. And we have a basket here for the empties, the empty cups. And if you want to spend time kneeling at the altar, you are more than welcome in prayer. But let's take this time to give thanks to God for the forgiveness of sins and to cling to the promise that we find in 1 John that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and He is just. He will forgive us our sins, and He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We have a psalm. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in his name. Amen. Thank you.